From GPB News, this is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headley. Historically, black colleges and universities have always served black students, but the faculty used to be mostly white.
Black colleges were an interesting place. Most of them, during that period, had white presidents. And they were run in a very draconian kind of way, with moral codes and with lots of rules. The white presidents were completely ill-equipped.
Today, filmmaker Stanley Nelson joins us to talk about his new documentary on the history of HBCUs. It premieres tonight on PBS. But first, many of you continue to weigh in on a show we did a few weeks ago about the debate over Confederate monuments. Here are your first thoughts. Ned Dominick called us to say these monuments tell a deep story.
I've lived in the South for 50 years now. The monuments to the Confederacy are basically an anachronism. They're pretty cool, to tell you the truth. They tell a story that really happened. The Southerners lost hundreds of thousands of soldiers, as did the Union. But the Union won. So all these are statues. And if you want to put labels on them that explain that slavery was an issue of the Confederacy, well, then feel free to explain the obvious. But don't move them.
We'd love getting your thoughts. So, where do you think Confederate monuments belong? You can call and tell us at 404-500-9457. We're also on Twitter, at OSD Talk, or post to Facebook, and we might feature your comments on the show. Last week, more heartache for Americans. The tragedy in Parkland, Florida, since Sandy Hook in 2012. In 2013, a similar scene played out at Decatur's Ronald E. McNair Discovery Learning Academy. Thankfully, no one was killed, but a young man did begin firing a gun. A school employee, Antoinette Tuff, talked the gunman down.
Okay, police was addressing your emergency.
Yes, ma'am. I'm on 2nd Avenue in the school, and the gentleman said, tell them to hold down. The police officer are coming, and he said he's going to start shooting, so tell them to back off.
Okay, one moment.
Do not let anybody in the building, including the police. Do not let anybody in the building, including the police.
There's a new short film based on what happened. It's called DeKalb Elementary.
Call 911. Come hold the police, Pat. They come in, I'm going to start shooting.
I'm on 2nd Avenue in the elementary school. There's a gentleman here with a gun, and he said, tell the police to back off or he's going to start shooting.
I'm in the front office. Ooh, he just went outside and started shooting.
That's a scene from DeKalb Elementary. It's nominated for an Oscar in the live-action short film category. I talked a couple weeks ago with Reed Van Dyke, its writer and director. He explained why he chose to tell this story as a short film.
What actually transpired between Antoinette and Michael actually took about 20 to 30 minutes. And so when I first heard the phone call, the 911 recording, I couldn't stop thinking about the two of them and that sort of amazing encounter that they'd had. And as I thought about, as I thought more about the two of them, I thought perhaps it would lend itself well to a short film.
Let's actually hear a moment. The gunman, as you say, was in control for a very short period of time, 15 minutes or so, and he does develop a connection with the school employee. So in this clip from your film, the employee is talking with the shooter as he prepares to give himself up, and she first speaks to the police.
He said he's ready now. He needs to go to the hospital.
All right, they're on their way.
They're on their way, sweetie, okay? I don't know your name or nothing. But I want you to know that I love you, and I'm proud of you. It's a good thing you're giving up. We all go through something in life.
Remind us briefly of the story of what happened with this shooter and this employee.
Yeah, I'm just remembering listening to that clip, how amazing it is that she said these things. So essentially, the film is inspired by this 911 call that made national news back in 2013. And Antoinette Tuff was in the front office filling in for the receptionist at the front office at the elementary school when Michael Hill walked in with an AK-47. And, he took her hostage or sort of asked her to become a conduit to the police. And then what transpired between them is what the film is.
So let's hear actually a clip as she begins to try to reach out to him. This is, again, the shooter talking with that school employee who's being held at gunpoint.
I can help. You want me to try? Maybe I can talk to him and help you somehow.
It don't matter. I'm going to go away for a long time.
If I talk to them, maybe we can work something out where you won't have to go away with them for a long time.
It don't matter. I'm already on probation.
But that doesn't matter. I could tell them that you haven't harmed me or tried to do anything with me.
I shot the police.
But that doesn't matter. You didn't hit anybody.
You don't know that.
So that perpetrator in real life was a 20-year-old, Michael Brandon Hill. He did go away for a long time. He was sentenced to 2 decades in prison. Did you need to speak to Antoinette Tough or Michael Hill before you got started on the film?
I didn't speak to them directly before I got started. In part, you know, I made this film as a student, and you know, was really moved by her words and actions, and wasn't actually sure how the film would turn out. And so I, you know, compiled all kinds of research. Obviously, the call, there were police reports and court documents and video camera footage from the actual school office. And I you know, sort of compiled that research and then began my adaptation process. I've since, you know, reached out to Antoinette, and I've written a letter to Michael.
You know, this is one of those films that's a little bit like say the classic 12 Angry Men or something, right? Like there's no car chases. It mostly takes place in one room with a limited number of characters. How do you handle that kind of challenge? You know, in order to keep people interested, sometimes people try a lot of CGI and special effects and scene changes. This doesn't have that.
Well, it's so funny you mentioned 12 Angry Men, actually, because that was a reference point for me when I was writing the script and trying to convince myself that it would actually work.
You're kidding.
I actually watched that film a number of times and used it as a reference in talking to other people about the film, because, of course, you know, there's an impulse to, as you say, to sort of crank up the tension and cross-cut between what's going on outside and inside. The thing I kept coming back to was my experience of this story was just purely auditory. And I didn't have any visuals. The only thing I had were Antoinette's voice, Michael's voice, and the voice of that dispatcher.
Hello, ma'am? Okay. He said to tell them to back off. He doesn't want the kids. He wants the police. So back off. And what else, sir? He said he don't care if he dies. He don't have nothing to live for. And he said he's not mentally stable.
Okay, stay on the line with me, okay? Put the phone down if you have to, but don't put it on hold so I can't hear.
Okay.
That actually created, obviously, an identification with the people inside that room and a question as to what was going on outside of the room. And I felt that was dramatic enough, and, you know, and the focus is really between what transpires between Antoinette and Michael and not actually what's happening with the cops.
How closely did you stick to what was really said in that office?
As closely as I possibly could. I mean, my first draft of the script was just the transcript in a Word document. And then it became a process of figuring out, of course, how to start the film, end it, give it some sort of shape. But the goal was always, you know, to not make anything dramatic that wasn't true or true to what happened or even true to the flow of what happened between them, and also not to sensationalize it or make any sort of movie moment that just was not the truth of what happened.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Reed Van Dyke. He's the writer and director of the short film DeKalb Elementary that has been nominated for an Oscar. The film is based on an actual school shooting that happened in 2013 at the Ronald McNair Discovery Learning Academy in Decatur. And I wonder, Reed, how quickly you decided you wanted to turn that, what was originally a news report, into a film.
It took a little while. I mean, I stumbled on the call accidentally. I hadn't heard about the story back when it happened in 2013. I was doing research for another script I was writing about a mass shooting incident. And for that script, I just needed to know how a 911 dispatcher answers the phone. Like, what's the protocol? What do they say? And I Googled 911 call, and that happened to be the call that popped up.
Wow.
And so I listened to it, and I couldn't stop. I mean, I kept pausing it because I would become overwhelmed with feeling for both of these people and just this extraordinary circumstance. And obviously, you know, her remarkable compassion. And so, I mean, I kept thinking about her and I kept thinking about him and for probably a couple weeks. And then eventually I thought, gosh, maybe I could try to turn this into a short. I was a student at UCLA at the time and I had to make a short film for my next project. And I thought, well, maybe I could try to do justice to this story.
What do you think the story says that still resonates now? I mean, what are you as a filmmaker trying to point out about this real life situation?
One of the things I've tried to do is to construct the story in such a way that it's not messaging you or preaching to you. But I mean, I continue to respond, you know, even listening to Antoinette. I listened to the call briefly yesterday. And I was overwhelmed by her orientation
still.
It's overwhelming, her orientation toward people in general, toward him, you know, to look at somebody who would have very understandably inspired fear. And she, you know, she saw a person who was suffering and who needed help.
It's going to be all right, sweet. I just want you to know that I love you, though, okay? And I'm proud of you. That's a good thing that you've just given up and don't worry about it. We all go through something in life. No, you don't want that. You're going to be okay. I thought the same thing. You know, I tried to commit suicide last year after my husband left me. But look at me now. I'm still working and everything is okay.
I wonder if all this work that you've done on this film, you know, a sad fact of modern day America at this point is that there are new headlines about shootings and often school shootings. And I wonder how your work on this film has colored your perception of those headlines when they occur.
I think it's helped me perhaps not to become desensitized to them. It's very hard. There are stories now, you know, that I'm reading about how we've all sort of turned away from these stories. They recur so frequently that we're almost, yeah, desensitized. And, you know, I became very interested in this subject matter. Just this film is one way in which I sort of worked out my own interest in the subject and this phenomenon of mass shootings in the country. But I suppose it helps me to continue to take an interest in this distinctly American phenomenon.
Would you make another short film? I mean, this one was made because it was an assignment for school. But do you like the format?
I do. I mean, I've certainly gotten, I think many of us, we internalize and absorb the sort of structure of a feature-length film. But now having been working at shorts for the past, you know, 5-10 years, and I do feel more comfortable with this form. This film was not my thesis film at school, so I actually have one more short that I just finished in December. That will hopefully show up at some festivals this year or next.
And I wonder what it's like for you now to watch it, even after all this time. Do you still feel like tinkering with it?
Yeah. One is always, many writer-director friends, we're all our own worst critics. And so, yeah, you know, there's always things you'd want to do. But it's also nice to enjoy it with an audience who's experiencing it for the first time because you can get to see it through their eyes.
That's Reed Van Dyke, the writer and director of the short film DeKalb Elementary. It's based on an actual school shooting in Georgia and is up for an Academy Award. Just ahead, understanding the legacy of the only two African Americans to ever sit on our nation's highest court. But first, a new film explores the history of HBCUs. This is On Second Thought.
I was born by the river in a little tent, oh, and just like